In adversity the character is revealed, May 21st. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. David was never more worthy of admiration than in his hour of adversity. Never was this cedar of God truly greater than when wrestling with the storm and tempest. With spirits broken and in tearful emotion, but without one expression of repining, he turns his back upon the scenes of his glory and also of his crime, and pursues his flight for his life. Shimei comes forth as David passes and, with a storm of curses, hurls against him invectives, throwing stones and dirt. Said one of David's faithful men, Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. David in his sorrow and humility says, Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. When the march of the procession is arrested by Zadok and Abiathar with the Levites who come bearing the Ark of God, the symbol of God's presence, David for a moment sees the star of hope amid the clouds, for with this precious token with him, he may greatly improve his situation. But how unselfish, how noble, is the man David. In his overwhelming affliction, David's resolution is taken. He, like the tall cedar of Lebanon, looks toward heaven. The royal command is carry back the Ark of God into the city. His reverence and respect for the Ark of God would not allow him to consent that it should be imperiled by his vicissitudes and his hasty flight. To rob the city of that symbol that gives it the name of the Mount of Holiness, he could not consent. Had he possessed selfish motives and a high opinion of himself, he would gladly have gathered everything that would build up his sinking fortunes and give him power to secure his safety. But he sends back to its place the sacred chest and will make no advancement until he sees the priests returning with the hallowed burden, to place it in the tabernacle of Zion. The voice of conscience, more terrible than Shimei, was bringing his sins to his mind. Uriah was continually before his eyes. His great crime was the sin of adultery. Although he did not with his own hand kill Uriah, he knew that the guilt of his death rested upon him. He recalled how oft-times God had worked for him, and thought, If he accepts my repentance, he may yet give me his favor and turn my mourning to joy. On the other hand, if he has no delight in me, if he has forgotten me, if he will leave me to exile or to perish, I will not murmur. I deserve his judgments and will submit to it all.